come, we are going to start now. The chairperson is not so well today. If I do collapse, one of the other members will take over. We have apologies from Ms. Sintusa, Mr. Kutsi, also the Minister of State Security. He was out of the country till yesterday. He had to go to Pretoria today. I'm also informed that the Honourable Landers and the Honourable Mentor will be joining us shortly. But I think we need to start. Just by way of announcements, the original deadline for this ad hoc committee to report to Parliament was set at the 7th of May 2010. However, the membership was only finalized on Tuesday, the 4th of May, when the chairperson was appointed, and our first meeting was last week, the 7th of May. The resolution of the House was therefore totally inappropriate given the circumstances. I've had to write to the presiding officers and to the WIPS forum, and those of you that were present in the House this week would have heard that the motion was tabled, and the committee's life has been extended, and we are to report back to Parliament on the 30th of September now. So the resolution of the 18th of March, which brought this ad hoc committee into existence, has been amended, and the closing date now to report, or the deadline, is the 30th of September. Those of you that weren't here last week, perhaps you should note another official date. We've already sent out advertisements for submissions from interested parties on the bill. The closing date for submissions is the 25th of June, 12 o'clock noon, 25 June at 12 noon is the closing date for written submission. After that, the committee will consider the submissions and we will go through a shortlisting process, and people will be then invited to public hearings, which will take place somewhere in July, towards the middle and end of July. Perhaps the members could just note that in their diaries. That the shortlisting will have to take place after the 25th of June. We will more than likely have to appoint a subcommittee to deal with the shortlisting, depending on the amount of submissions that we receive. I know with the former bill we did receive many submissions, and it wasn't possible for the full committee to deal with it. A subcommittee was appointed then to deal with the shortlisting. Honourable members, again, also for those of you that were not here last week, first presentation on the bill, it was an introductory presentation. It was meant to assist the members to come into grips with the contents of the bill. We also agree that we will proceed on the basis that this is a new bill, and those of you that are interested in what was in the old bill, you have got copies of it. You can look at the copies. I have asked the researchers to do a document, a comparison document, which will be available at some time for the members, so that you can see the differences between the old bill and the new bill. It would save you the trouble of having to compare the old with the new. But I didn't think it would be necessary for us to deal with the new bill by continually comparing what was in the old bill. I think we're just going to waste time. We have a bill before us now. This is the bill that we have to consider. And I think we should leave the old bill. And those of you that are interested will be able to make necessary comparisons with the document that the researchers will distribute to you shortly. We will be taking various presentations. It's very important that committee members familiarize themselves with the bill. There are a number of issues in the bill that require serious consideration. And unless we as committee members are familiar with the contents of the bill, we are more than likely going to be arguing and discussing things that we don't understand. It's very important that you read the bill. But what we have done in the meantime is to ask the ministry to assist us with presentations, to familiarize us with the more important aspects of the bill, give us a global rundown of what really is going on in this bill. So we have today again called the ministry here. They are the drafters. They are the architects of the bill, to take us through some of the more important aspects of the bill. And the intention is to assist the members to become more familiar with some of the important context, so that when you do deal with the bill, you will find it easier to understand and easier to read and see what the bill is trying to achieve. You would see one of the important aspects in the bill is the various categories of information. And I've asked them today to concentrate on that. Those are the things that the bill is trying to protect. So it's important that we understand that there's different categories of information. Another aspect of the bill that is important is the declassification of classified information and what happens to it. The bill intends that these bits of information be stored at some time or another in the lifespan of their declassification by the archives. And I have started negotiations with the archives to see whether we cannot get a presentation from them on their availability. And their readability to be able to deal with the aspects of the bill. There was a concern last time that the archives might not have the capacity to deal with some of the aspects in the bill that refer to them. I think it would be appropriate for us to pass legislation if we were not familiar with whether the archives can in fact deal with the aspects that the bill refers to them. So I am planning to get them to come here and just do a short presentation on what they have and what they don't have. There will be other presentations as we go along. There is also at the moment a draft program for the committee. But the important aspects of the work is really going to start once we receive the submissions and we deal with the shortlisting. Up until then, I think the important thing would be that we receive sufficient presentations so that the members are able to understand what really is taking place in the bill, so that when the hard work starts, we are really fully familiar with what goes on. It's sometimes very embarrassing when people come to present here and they are more familiar with the bill than what the actual members of the committee are. And I would want to empower all members on this committee to be fully familiar with what's going on in the bill, so that the time when we engage with the public, know what's in the bill, we are able to concede or defend those aspects of the bill that has been attacked or been criticized. Having said those few words, I'd like to go over now to the team from the ministry. They were introduced last week. I don't know if their names have changed since, but they can introduce themselves again if they so wish. The members of the committee are still the same. Over to you. After the briefing, we will again go to issues of clarity. I don't think at this stage it's the time to shoot the drafters, to chase them out here. I mean, get clarity, and if there are areas of concern, perhaps you would note it down, please them on the areas of concern so that you can be clear in your own mind that when the time comes, you can put up an effective argument that can be useful to the outcome of our work here. So over to the drafters.
Thank you, Chair, and welcome to everybody. I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Advocate Supersat from the State Security Agency.
Welcome, everybody. I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Behim Dili, Legal Advisor to the Minister. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. With regards to, for this particular purpose of the briefing session, just to give a sense of clarity and a sense of appreciation of what type of information the bill seeks to protect. First, the important one which we need to consider first was the state information. Now, the relevant chapters that deal with regard to what type of information needs protection is Chapter 2. State information may, in terms of this Act, be protected against unlawful disclosure, destruction, alteration, and loss. If you go into the definitions section, which is Chapter 1, it gives you a brief definition of what state information is, and the definition currently means information generated, acquired, or received by organs of state or in the possession or control of organs of state. So that is the point of departure for this particular bill. We then go on to Chapter 5 to talk about protected information. This basically informs us what state information requires protection. And under this section, we have decided to include the concept of valuable information. Now, valuable information is also defined in the definition chapter, but in terms of the bill, which will give you further clarity, it's Chapter 4, which is Section 9, which deals with the determining what are the determination factors of valuable information and how you go about protecting valuable information. So what we have done is we have just created a subcategory of protected information. Valuable information covers the whole aspect of what needs to be protected. We go on to Chapter 6, which gives us the general principles of state information. Now, we have considered all the constitutional implications, the principles enshrined in the Constitution, and we have inserted the following section, which I'll read out to you. General principles of state information. The following principles underpin this Act and inform the implementation and interpretation. Unless restricted by law or by justifiable public or private considerations, state information should be available and accessible to all persons. Information that is accessible to all is the basis of transparent, open, and democratic society. Access to information is a basic human right and promotes human dignity, freedom, and the achievement of equality. The free flow of information promotes openness, responsiveness, informed debate, accountability, and good governance. The free flow of information can provide safety and security. Accessible information builds knowledge and the understanding and promotes creativity, education, research, the exchange of ideas, and economic growth. Some confidentiality and secrecy is, however, vital to save lives, to enhance and protect the freedom and the security of persons, to bring criminals to justice, to protect the national security, and to engage in effective government and diplomacy. Measures to protect state information should not infringe unduly on personal rights and liberties, or make the rights and liberties of citizens unduly dependent on administrative decisions. And measures taken in terms of this Act must have regard to the freedom of expression, the rights of access to information, and other rights and freedoms enshrined in the Bill of Rights, and be consistent with Article 19 of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, and have regard to South Africa's international obligations. Paragraphs A to I, which I have just read out, are subject to the security of the Republic, in that national security of the Republic may not be compromised. That is the Section 6 in the bill as it currently reflects. We actually looked at the national security of the Republic, and we have also inserted a definition into the definition section. This assists in the balancing of rights. If anybody requires documents to actually engage in an informed decision where the courts will decide on whether the document is required for the public. But that's just the overall guideline with regards to state information. We then move on to information which requires protection against alteration, destruction, or loss. The processes of determining information as valuable. This is Section 9, which I will read out briefly. State information must be determined as valuable when that information is identified in terms of a prescribed procedure or policy as information that should be protected from destruction and loss. Items of valuable information, which covers a variety of documents, computer, IT solutions, of state information, must be entered into a departmental register of valuable information. This creates more legitimacy with regards to documents that are being classified as valuable information. When state information is categorized as valuable, all individual items of information that fall within the valuable category are automatically deemed to be valuable. So, for example, if the main document is classified as, say, for example, secret, any annexures that go with that document will also be deemed as valuable information. The protection of valuable information, it warrants a degree of protection and administrative control and must be handled with due care and only in accordance with authorized procedures. When I mention these procedures contained in the bill, will be within 18 months of the promulgation of this bill, the Minister for State Security must prescribe these procedures which will relate to the protection of valuable information. I must point out that the regulations will have to be done in consultation with the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. The next important section, which deals with information that requires protection against disclosure. We have categorized this into two separate groups, which talks about sensitive information and commercial information. Part A for sensitive information gives a very important section or a principle which guides the whole bill. It talks about the national interest of the Republic. I will read it out to you briefly. The national interest of the Republic includes, but is not limited to, all matters relating to the advancement of public goods and all matters relating to the protection and preservation of all things owned or maintained by the public, for the public by the state. National interest is multifaceted and includes the survival and security of the state and the people of South Africa. matters of national interest include security from all forms of crime, protection against attacks or incursions on a republic or acts of foreign interference, defense and security plans and operations, details of criminal investigation and police and the law enforcement methods, significant political and economic relations with international organizations and foreign governments, economic, scientific, or technological methods vital to the Republic's stability, security, integrity, and development, and all methods that are subject to mandatory protection in terms of Sections 34 to 42 of the current Promotion of Access to Information Act. The determination of what is in the national interest of the Republic must at all times be guided by the values referred to in Section 1 of the Constitution. So these are the guiding principles of determining does the document actually require a classification or a protection from any disclosure. Previously, at the last presentation, we mentioned that the current problem that is experienced throughout government is that documents are unnecessarily classified, and this creates blanket secrecy. There's no guidelines that have been applied to look at what the content of the document is. Does it render what level of classification it requires? Can it be made open to the public? So we try to address all these issues by looking at the Constitution and guiding us and balancing out the secrecy. So sometimes if it's going to affect the national interest or be detrimental to state security, there must be a decision that is made by the independence of the judiciary to actually look at what's in the best interest of the Republic and whether it will compromise any of the national or the state security. We go on to commercial information, which basically talks about commercial information that is in the control of the organs of state. For example, all the financial records, which if they have relationships with, as mentioned in the previous chapter, if it relates to anything that's with foreign governments, and whether there's any international organization. That document, there are guidelines which are in Section 12, which guides this particular area. We are not saying that it's not available to the public, but there are certain categories that which will require a protection against disclosure. The next part, which follows subsequent to your different types of information, is your classification and declassification of documents. The nature of classified information is very important with regard to this particular area. We also give clear guidelines on the method of classifying information. We also set out what the classification levels are. With regard to classification levels, previously there were four categories of classification, which was restricted, confidential, secret, and top secret. We have, as drafters, we realized that the restricted classification has become redundant. Actually, if you do have a confidential classification, that overrides a restricted classification. So it's not, it basically frustrates the whole mechanism of classifying documents. Sometimes you see that the content of a restricted document can be made available to the public, but it's just classified because it comes from a certain organ of state. So we try to remove that, and we set guidelines with regard to classification levels. It's very important to talk about the method of classifying information. Essentially, what happens in this particular area is that the classification authority is identified, basically, which will be the head of that organ of state. And it sets out what information, in terms of this act, warrants the classification. What we have also inserted into the bill is a control mechanism, which makes it an offense for an authority to improperly classify a document. So I will go through that slightly later on, but I just want to make you all aware that we have incorporated a control mechanism with regard to classifying of information. That also balances out the secrecy or blanket secrecy that was previously adopted. We talk about the authority to classify information. As I mentioned, it's the head of organ of state, to classify or reclassify information. What we have also done in the bill is that we have made it mandatory for all organs of state to report once a year to Parliament on the status of what documents have been classified, what have been declassified, and what has been sent to the National Archives.
Can I just intervene there? Honourable members, I think perhaps we should take questions here because I think we need to be clear that you understand the whole categories of information. Because I think once you understand that, the issue of, you know, how to classify and what shouldn't be classified is going to be much easier to follow. Can we perhaps ask the honourable members if they've got any questions at this stage, you know, regarding valuable information, information which is protected from alteration, destruction and loss is another category, information protected against disclosure. You'll see there's a whole range of things here. If you put them in nice compartments, it should be easy to understand, but I'm not sure if you're following it, so I just would like to give the honourable members an opportunity to ask questions regarding that. I see the honourable Fichler.
Thank you, Chair. First, let's thank the gentleman for giving us this input. Now, this question of protection of information, I haven't heard much on the question of the role of the media, what restrictions are put on the media concerning protected information, classified information, whatever. Because the media is always out of control time and again. How do you control it?
Perhaps
take the
answer first.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Member. With regards to the media, as I have previously mentioned, the basis of this bill is based on the Bill of Rights and Freedom of Expression. However, if there is classified state information that comes into the possession of the media, we have made it an offence that if they are unauthorized to have that particular information and disclose it, it's an offence in terms of this bill. It also makes provision for if you knowingly know that the document is restricted or classified, you have a duty to send it back to the South African Police Services or the particular organ of state that has generated the document. So that's, we have a balance in. For the media, as we said, there's going to be a process of reviewing what documents have been unnecessarily classified, which will then become public information once it has been declassified in terms of the National Archives. So if they want to challenge any type of classification of a document, there is a status review where a request will be made to the head of organ of state to say that you must make a status review with regards to this document, and the head of organ of state has a stipulated time to respond to say that it warrants classification because of the principles that are set out in the classification guidelines. So that's the way we have the balance in it.
The Honourable Mania.
Thank you, Chair. Just on a question of clarification, am I correct in inferring from your presentation that in order to decide, for example, whether a document should be classified or not, one would have to determine whether, in terms of Chapter 5, the information is sensitive information or commercial information. And in order to determine whether a document is sensitive information, the guideline that you would use would be the concept of national interest. It concerns me, if that is correct, it concerns me that the definition of national interest as set out in Section 11 is extraordinarily broad. And I'll illustrate that with an example. Do you, for example, think that disclosing information that South Africa is attempting to sell conventional arms to a rogue state is in the national interest? And if so, how would you be able to objectively decide that?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Member. With regards to the national interest, it's not only relating to sensitive, it also guides the commercial aspects of it. It is a broad definition because what we have done is we have consulted existing case law. Now, the concept of national interest changes as society changes. So there will be existing case law, and the judiciary will actually guide us on that particular area. We didn't want to infringe on the judiciary's interpretation of what national interest is. So it still gives them some sort of, what can I say, it doesn't interfere with, we don't become too prescriptive to the judiciary. It's just the guideline which is brought. With regard to the question relating to the interest in the arms, that example that you have mentioned, what we have inserted into this bill as well is to say that the person that is classifying the information that does it for an ulterior motive that is not within this act and not in line with the Constitution or the aims of South Africa in the whole, it's an offense. So it's open for what can I say? It's not actually a clear-cut area, but there is a guideline which a judicial person can interpret this matter on. We have got the Constitutional Court which can guide us on this matter. But it is an area that we have to seriously look into and actually try to clarify it much better.
I think what the drafters are saying is that as much as disclosure is an offence in certain circumstances, it's equally an offence to classify when you shouldn't be classifying, if I'm correct. The Honourable Mentor, is that the Honourable Landers?
Yes, I'm sorry to be late. The issue of national interest, I have two questions. I agree that it's a little bit broadly defined, and my question will be, firstly, is it the right thing to leave it for the interpretation of the judiciary alone, or do we need to define it elsewhere, either in terms of a regulation or something? Probably this question goes to probably to the drafters as well as the Joint Standing Committee of Intelligence, that do you define national interest only in relation to protection of information, or do you need to tightly define it elsewhere also in terms of a regulation? But my other concern is about the abolition of restricted information. If you do away with that, how are you going to solve the problem of instances of, for instance, one example of restricted information that I don't know whether it's categorically stated as restricted information would be the dockets that are handled by investigating arms or sections of law enforcement agencies, whereas that should be protected, and you cannot label that confidential, and you cannot label that secret, and you cannot label that top secret. Should be treated as it needs a little bit of protection, which to me would fall in the level of to just a mere example, selection procedures for interviews and job opportunities. You cannot classify that information. It will be illegal for you to classify information pertaining to interviews and selection procedures as in terms of these levels of the three levels, but that should be under information pertaining to those procedures should be perceived and should be handled as restricted information. Now, if you do away with the category of restricted information, how do you deal with these issues that are neither commercial nor security related but needs to be handled with care in so far as information, like the one like dockets, like selection procedures for job opportunities, etc.?
Chair, mine is not a question. If you will, I may crave your indulgence. Some years back, we raised the possibility of Parliament leading a debate on the concept of national interest. I still believe that we need such a debate because the concept means different things to different people. And truth be told, it can be subjective. It can also be determined or influenced by both the political economic situation of the time. Take, for example, why America does business with China. China is regarded by the Americans as almost being a rogue state, totally undemocratic in American eyes. It does not hold democratic elections. And yet, America does business with China openly and freely. The reason for that is because, according to America's leaders, it is in their national interest to do so. So, Chair, quite apart from what is contained in the bill here before us, I think we need to, and I'm pleading with an opportunity for Parliament to do this, for us to engage in a debate on how we understand the concept national interest, so that hopefully at the end of the debate, both all the people in Parliament as well as broader society then has some understanding. We may not agree with one another what the President deems in the national interest today. Mr. Mania may quite obviously object to it and say it's wrong. And what the President deems to be in the national interest next month, Senyim Gabadeli and me will say, well, we have a serious problem with that. But the important thing is that this matter be placed before us and we be allowed to vent and express ourselves on the matter. In the process, perhaps I will provide members with a copy of a document the CIA released of information of stuff that happened 50 years ago, stuff that was done in the national interest in America. I can assure you, you'll be quite surprised by what is contained therein. Can we take the answers and we get back to the Honourable Gabadeli? Let's just take your responses and we get back to your Honourable Member. Oh. Restrictive information your momentous concern that there might be a need to retain this category.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Member. With regard to the restricted information, if I can just attend to the first question with relating to the dockets and the selection procedure. With regard to the dockets, there are specific procedures in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act which deals with disclosure of information of certain parts of the docket. There's a part A, B, and C, like the investigation diary of the investigation officer cannot be made available to the accused counsel. Even with regards to affidavits that are obtained, it is only at the part when it's in court where the defense or the state discloses it to the defense counsel to question and challenge that particular area. So there are mechanisms with regard to those areas. With regard to the selection procedures, there are different circumstances which selection processes take place. For example, in the National Intelligence Agency, people know when they're coming in for that particular interview or selection process, all information is regarded as confidential unless that person signs off to say that I will make this information available to the public. The doing away with restricted information, just the idea behind that was to just ease the flow of information a bit more. We created all these guidelines in the bill. So if it doesn't fall within these guidelines, then the document can become a public document. As I mentioned, there was unnecessary classification of documents. Restricted is the lowest form of classification. Now, imagine all government departments having a restricted document, and if nobody knows what the proper classification level is, they can just put in restricted, and it will also increase the volume of documents that have been restricted. But we have seriously considered taking it away for the sole purpose that restricted in the current environment, if you look at the principles that are set out in the minimum information security standards, and if you look at the confidential restriction, it's similar. It's no major difference in that particular area. So confidential will actually take over the restricted classification. We didn't want to have too many broad categories of classification, then that also creates confusion. It also might lead to improper classification, which is an offense in this law. So we are trying to just give a guideline and also be restrictive on those that are classifying the document.
Honourable members, is that all? Can we proceed? You are satisfied? You understand the various categories of information now? I see the Minister has got some more input.
Chairperson, though I'm not a drafter here, but I want to respond to another question which has been raised about the regulation, in that this is just a thing which might be at the end of the day, and then the regulations will then give us a guide on some of the aspects. That is what I wanted to.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry again, just for clarification, and I'm sorry if I may have missed this point, but it seems to me that the critical, if you like, concept is valuable information. Documents that might fall under that umbrella. But the question is, well, what criteria would be used to determine whether a document is in fact, or whether documents fall under the umbrella of valuable information? What are those exact criteria?
Thank you, Chair. With regards to that, Section 9 of the bill under Chapter 4 deals with the process of determining information as valuable. State information must be determined as valuable when that information is identified in terms of a prescribed procedure or policy as information that should be protected from destruction or loss. With regard to the prescribed procedure and policy, we have inserted a national information security standard, which will replace the current MIS, the minimum information security standard. Mm-hmm. Items of valuable information and files, integral file blocks, file series, or categories of valuable information must be entered into a departmental register. So these areas of classifying what is valuable will come from the National Information Security Standards, which will be done in conjunction with the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. So the regulations will supplement this particular area of determining what is valuable information. So that is the idea behind this. We don't want to become, because for one department, what might be valuable wouldn't be valuable to another department. So we're trying to root that out by creating standard policies with a guideline of determining what is valuable information. We are actually relying on the regulations for this particular area to give us proper guidelines and proper details of what is regarded as valuable information.
Let me just finish, Honorable Mayor.
Can I? Would you agree then that in terms of this legislation, there's an enormous amount of discretion then given to the executive to decide what is valuable information? That there's an inherent risk in that.
I don't know whether we want to shoot the messenger now. Get a admission from the messenger, the Honorable Gabadelli. I'm sorry, I'm not well, and so I don't always think straight when I'm not well. But sorry for missing you.
Things that you have said you are not well. I was going to question you, why are you continuing with one person when you said you'll come back to me? Now I know what is the reason. I wish you well. It's similar to what Honorable Mene is saying, but mine is on Chapter 10. But very close to what you have said, valuable information warrants a degree of protection, and it goes on and on. It's fine as everything, but come the case where a person has been charged with protection of information, that is, and you argue, and the same court end up saying it doesn't warrant this degree which is not measured here. When will you be satisfied that now this is the 80% degree? Can you be assisted there? Because really you end up as public health looking like a we don't know what we're doing. It's well phrased, but practically, when there are court issues, at what level do you say it's a measurable degree of protection? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We have inserted a Chapter 12, which relates to protection of information before the court, which gives us further guidelines on how these queries can be addressed. What we have inserted into that particular area is that we made it a mandatory requirement that there are three judicial officers which will preside over the matter. With regard to that, we also mentioned in the preamble that, or in the introductory phase, that all matters relating to this bill will be done in consultation with the National Director of Public Prosecutions, where we root out inexperienced prosecutors dealing with the matter. The National Director of Public Prosecutions will allocate a very experienced person to deal with this matter. The three judicial officers, why we have made it a mandatory requirement, is that we don't want a single decision from a judicial officer on matters that are of a serious nature. So it's basically, we took the principle of what the Court of Appeal uses to have three judicial officers to come to an informed decision. We don't want the process to be long and protracted where you have a matter that's instituted in court of first instance, then it goes on appeal to the High Court and then it goes to the Supreme Court of Appeal and then to the Constitutional Court. So if you have three judicial officers pronouncing on this issue, it will give us some sort of clarity whether it's just a safety mechanism that we have put into the bill that deals with matters that come before the court.
I'll get to you now, Honourable Wanda. Honourable members, allow me to simplify this thing. You're going to have information. And this information might necessarily have to be protected from being altered or destroyed or lost. These are your passports, your ID documents, your birth certificates. There's thousands and thousands of this information. This information is not necessarily protected from disclosure. But we have people interfering with that information at the moment. They fake passports, they change dates of birth, they infiltrate our system, and they are able to get people to put certain things in state information or information that eventually lands in the hands of the state, medical certificates, and they alter these things. Some of them, they destroy it. Now, those things need to be protected. Not necessarily that they will not be disclosed. But there's another category of information that needs to be protected from being disclosed. Those are generally your information that your intelligence agencies are working with. Some of the information that some of your departments, like Home Affairs, might be working with. But we can get to that. But those are the core differences here. Don't confuse yourself when we, you know, about destruction and loss and that. Those things, people will still be able to go through your Information Act, make application, and you would get access to that information if that is allowed in terms of the Act. So those bits of information are protected but not necessarily restricted from being disclosed. I think once you get that in your mind, you would get a better idea of everything else that flows, the Honourable Lawrence.
Chair, I may have misheard them, but I'm pretty sure that the presenters said that the Minister will make regulations in consultation with the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. The bill doesn't say that. So we would need to amend that to make sure that it actually provides for it.
Also, I think what the Honourable Members might record now and then is that there is going to be a lot of discussion around the aspect of national security, national interests, and the public interest. These are concepts that came up in the previous bill, and they are concepts that concern people. They're not easy concepts to deal with, but this bill is going to have to take into consideration some form of understanding of those concepts. And I think if you work your mind around those concepts and how you think, we'll get into a discussion on that later. A national interest, national security, and public interest. These things are different. Believe you me. And you will find lots and lots and lots of literature on what these things mean and to different people. If you go through your constitution, you will see that there are many places in the constitution where reference is made to public interest. And I would encourage the members to do the search so that they get familiarized with these concepts so that as we move along, it'd be easier to deal with the questions that will be coming from people that come and present to us. Can we go back to the presenter?
Thank you, Chair. I accept the last part that you talk about, but the first part often let us not get confused. I'm not sure about that one, because this job that is in front of us, its timing is fine, but we cannot forget of the realities as we are sitting here. There was a bill; it was not completely out of order, but as a South African, I didn't see those things being followed. Just in the case that has been caught, which hasn't been finalized. So it's not going to be easy to some of us mentally to say, let me not confuse myself. Because when I open the TV, I'm finding exactly what I'm asking about being not followed. So I need a serious advice with how this bill is going to do away with things that take a lot of our money is being dealt with, only to find that no, those higher up than the ones who are looking at it have discovered that no, there was nothing wrong. When you are requested to do this type of work, it would be nice before we finish our job to have the delegation, the presenters, coming at this case that is in court right now to say, in this chapter, so-and-so was well executed, but there are lessons in front of us as a country that are still not yet finished. That's why I was raising this issue of a degree, you know, to a particular degree. It becomes abnormally and unnecessarily difficult, because it means we're still going to be going on the way these cases, or this particular case, which I think all of us are aware of which case I'm talking about. Let's use that case as a pilot study before we present this thing. You will tell us where you are not allowed to question about this particular case when it is still a protected, and I will ask again on that day which bill is protecting them, what level of degree is saying we should. It will make this very easy for some of us, right? But if we talk as if 1994 was still formulating how the protection of information would be handled, it will make myself much more confused than before. Thank you.
Honourable Member, am I, just to understand you correctly, your concern is mainly that the language used in the bill is still very public, non-friendly. Is that because it was a complaint with the old bill too, that some of the language used was not very friendly, it's difficult, some of the concepts, I'm just trying to understand the essence of your concern. Is that the essence of the concern?
Yes, partly is that. Partly it's what you have said to John Happy, that it would be done. The issue of national interest, national security, public interest, added to the language, plus these three levels, as South Africans, we haven't come to any conclusion about this. And that will make this bill to be understandable once we do, because you are really moving this way.
I understand, and a further concern is that we need a broader understanding of some of the concepts, that we need to engage these concepts because they are new and they're not clearly understood, and we need to understand them. I think the Honourable Lawrence has also raised this issue of engaging on the question of national interest. I think we will meet as a committee and look at how to get briefings on these particular aspects so that we get briefings outside from the drafters on these particular concepts, so we can get independent clarity on what these things mean, that we can formulate our own understanding of what this is. I think that's what you're saying. Then I understand you. So it doesn't require a response from the team then, as long as we understand. I get the secretary to note that so that we can take that process forward. I'm going to go over to the drafters just to go a step further on their presentation, and then we'll take questions again, and then we will adjourn soon.
Thank you, Chair. The other vital section in this bill is the directions for classification. That's Section 17. Section 17.1 reads as, for the purpose of classification decisions must be guided by Section 21 and the following. Now, Section 21 relates for the criteria for continued classification of information. This comes in light of the maximum protection period, which is 20 years, which talks about whether at the end of the 20 years a status review will be done on the document, and all the criteria for the classification will be also applied to see if the document warrants a declassification or transfer to the National Archives and issues like related to that. As I mentioned, that the purpose for the classification is guided by secrecy exists to protect the national interest. Classification of information may not under any circumstances be used to conceal an unlawful act or omission, incompetence, inefficiency, or administrative error. Restricted access to information in order to limit scrutiny and thereby avoid criticism. To prevent embarrassment to a person, organization, organ of state, or agency, or to unlawfully restrain or lessen competition, or prevent, delay, or obstruct the release of information that does not require protection under this Act. The classification of information is an exceptional measure and should be conducted strictly in accordance with Section 11 and 15, which deals with different classification levels, which is national interest and classification levels. information is classified only where there is a clear and justifiable and a legitimate need to do so, and a demonstrable need to protect the information in the national interest. If there is significant doubt as to whether information requires protection, the matter must be referred to the minister for a decision. The decision to classify information must be based solely on the guidelines and the criteria set out in this Act. The policies and regulations made in terms of the statutory framework state information that does not meet the criteria set out in this Act. The regulations and applicable policies may not be classified. The decision to classify may not be based on any extraneous or irrelevant reason. Classification decisions ought to be assessed and weighed against the benefits of secrecy, taken into account the following factors: the vulnerability of information, the threat of damage from disclosure, the risk of loss of information, the value of information to adversaries, the cost of protecting the information, and the public benefit to be derived from the release of the information. Scientific research and information not clearly related to national security and national interests may not be classified. Information may not be reclassified after it has been declassified and released to the public under proper authority. Classification must be in place only for long as the protection is actually necessary, and where there is still a need for classification, it may be that the information in question no longer requires a high level of classification and should be downgraded. The application of classification principles may not in any way inhibit or prevent officials from informing authorized officials of such information in order to fulfill law enforcement or intelligence functions authorized or prescribed by law. The next section that flows from this, which actually deals with the administration part of with the direction for classification, is the authority to declassify information, which deals with, so the bill sets out an authority to classify information and an authority to declassify information. We also deal with maximum protection periods, which deals with, as previously mentioned in Section 17, classification must be in place for as long as the protection is actually necessary. Although there's a maximum protection period, there is a mechanism that deals with the status review of particular documents. So after 10 years, if you require a status review on a certain document, the request must go to the relevant head and he will then respond accordingly. There's regular reviews of classified information, as I mentioned. At least once every 10 years, the head of organ of state must review the classified status of all classified information held or possessed in that organ of state. The first 10-year period referred to in subsection 1, which I've mentioned, commences on the effective date of this act. The status of classified information must be reviewed when there is a need or proposal to use that information in a public forum, such as a court or tribunal proceedings. When conducting a review, the head of organ of state must apply the criteria for the continued classification of information contemplated in this chapter. The organ of state must inform the minister and the public of the results of regular reviews. Chair, at this stage, maybe we can ask the members, if honorable members, if there's any clarity or maybe if they can assist us in or guiding us further.
Honorable members, now we've classified everything now, and now we want to declassify it, and are there any questions? I recognize the Honorable Mania, and then the Honorable Mentor and the Honorable Honors.
Thank you, Chair. You referred to Section 17, one where, for the purposes of classification decisions, you set out certain guidelines. Those decisions should be guided by certain provisions in Section 17. And there we say that secrecy exists to protect the national interest. I mean, doesn't that reverse the presumption the presumption then is secrecy rather than openness. Isn't it actually the reverse? Secrecy actually endangers the national interest. It's quite an extraordinary clue.
The Honourable Mentor.
Chair, on the period, the length of period of time for classification, which is maximum period of 28. I don't get it that you can embargo, for lack of a better word, different levels of information for the different period of for the same period of time. For me, the 20-year period doesn't tell me does that apply to confidential information as equal to secret information. For me, there should be a differentiated time period for the period of classification. For me, 20 years should apply to top secret, but you need a lesser period for confidential. There's no way you can have 20-year period for both confidential and for, and I don't find the differentiation. Yeah, but also downgrading information is just wrong. I don't know if we anticipate that there will be a policy somewhere else that will regulate downgrading, because when you review, it might be that if you review top secret after 10 years, the result of the review might be that you don't completely you may not necessarily need to wait for 20 years. You may downgrade it to secret or even skip. it confidential. But I'm trying to look for the probability of that in the law, or are those things strictly, and it's difficult when you don't have a regulation to look for these things. For me, my quest will be to have a differentiated amount of time for different levels of classification, but also to unpack a little bit processes of draw. I know you cannot be too specific in the law, in the Act, but to say you must classify top secret for 20 years should not be the only thing that you can do with top secret. It might be that even before 10 years, within the first 10 years, you should have the ability to recognize that this I can convert into or reclassify into secret or confidential. I'm looking for that in the draft, and I don't find it. Maybe I was missing anything.
The Honorable Landers?
In the same vein, but slightly different, Chair, although I must agree with the previous speakers, just on Mr. David Mania's point, the word secrecy exists to protect could possibly be taken out. And then all we do is just use the national interest as contained in the bill to guide us. Those first four words create enormous problems. And then secondly, Chair, why 20 years? Why not 50? What informs us that it should be 20? And then, in the same vein, the review period, how does this conform, or on what basis do we take this position? What are international best practices? If the presenters could perhaps take us into their confidence on that particular.
Can we take responses now?
Thank you, Chair. I didn't catch the last part of Honorable Anders.
International best practice on this review period.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. With regard to Section 17.1A, the inputs received from honourable members have to be considered, and the removal of that particular section wording wouldn't materially affect the bill, as long as the honourable lenders mentioned that we can rely on the national interest and state security to guide us on those principles. So we can draft something with in lines of subject to the national interest and state security. To, we can either remove it completely, but we will go back and come back to the next presentation to give feedback on that particular section after assessing that. With regard to the maximum period of 20 years, with that particular area, we want to inform the committee that our intention was to create the National Information Security Standard, which will further give all the finer details relating to the particular areas relating to classified documents, for how long it needs to be classified, all the criteria that needs to be set out. If we are going to put in every detail into the bill is going to become more cluttered, and it might make it much less user-friendly, because currently it's not that user-friendly, if I can just state that. So our intention is to include it into the National Information Security Standards and also supplement it with regulation if the needs be. So that is the idea behind coming through those different periods of classification, whether confidential requires a five-year period or not. The period of 20 years, the reality of that particular area is that we used the previous bill as a guideline, which set out a period of 20 years. Maybe we still have to actually consider, as Honorable Landers mentioned, to look at what the international best practices are, what the current... The difficulty that we have is the minimum information security standard currently. It's just a cabinet memoranda. It's a guideline which gives us an idea of how to handle this type of information. But as we said, there's no legal status of that minimum information security standard. We will consider and we'll actually research and consider and also obtain guidance from the committee with regard to this different periods of years. Thank you, Chair.
So the downgrading of information which the Honourable Mentor...
Sorry, Chair. The downgrading of information will be relative to these principles that we set out into the National Information Security Standards, which is supplemented by the regulations. We need direction on whether we must incorporate it into the legislation or to incorporate it into the regulations or the National Information Security Standards. So it's a point that we will have to consider as well.
And are you saying that you still have to find reasons why classified information needs to be downgraded, or are you saying the reasons are there, you just need to incorporate them into a regulation? I think if we had clarity on that, the Honourable Mentor would be more comfortable. Do we still have to find the reasons why information classified at a certain level would be declassified at some stage or another to a lower level? Are there reasons already, but you intend to incorporate this into a regulation?
Thank you, Chair. It's the latter, where there are reasons already existing in the bill. As we talk about the status review process, that is the mechanism that we will utilize to downgrade or assess what the current classification, whether it renders a continued classification, a downgrade, or a transfer to the National Archives. The methodology of doing that, it's our intention of incorporating it into the legislation, Chair. So there are sufficient grounds contained in the bill to downgrade information, and there's very strict guidelines for the declassification of the information.
Can I just make one appeal? The problem with South Africa, and it's not only in relation to this, is that often we write beautiful pieces of legislation, and we declare an intention to put regulations into place, and yet luck without regulations being put in place. My appeal would be this is just too serious for us to live many years and time spent to last without regulations. And some sections, if you want them to be read in conjunction with already existing regulations or with already existing pieces of legislation, I think that X must say so very fastly. If they know that this area is a case for a regulation or a policy already exists somewhere else, it should be said this section should be read in conjunction with it. But my call is just for regulations to be. Our experience is that often the devil is in the lack of regulation, and it takes a long, long time before regulations are put in place. So maybe this is a side issue, but this would be my strongest appeal to you, Chair, and to the drafters also, to indicate areas where regulations are necessary or are already in existence to be ready in conjunction of other pieces of legislation with the section.
Chairperson, it has been alluded to, and thank you for the contribution. And I think maybe for the draft as well, it will have to be put in the act within which a period the regulations should be there, so that there will be no loophole. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
from Gabadelli and then the Honourable Lander.
Thank you, Chair. On Chapter 17E, I'll request that the drafters go and check that one also. There's no need for us to discuss it. Check it in relation to the previous response I got when I was asking a question. There are three, the public protector, the judicial officers, stuff like that. And then under E comes this new one. Because these are things that bother us in our country. Where does the buck stop? So I'm not requesting or expecting any answer now, but if they can go back, read thoroughly their E17E in relation to what they give to us earlier. These three bodies, and at the end of the day, the minute, so that we know exactly what will be their final decision. Thank you. If it can be written down, I will value it, but I'm not expecting any response now.
Honourable Landers, help me, the MIST document, Minimum Information Security Standards, is that freely available, or is that, if it is easily available, I'm wondering, Chair, whether we shouldn't just table it here as a document that will help us in considering this bill. We'll go a long way, because there's constant reference to it, but we don't have it in front of us. And that might go a long way towards allaying the concerns raised by both the Honourable Feki Mento and Kenyim Galatika.
Get to you now, Honourable Fiske. Just one. The MIST document is quite a thick document. But I will ask the staff to make copies available to the honourable members. Yes, the honourable Fichler.
Yeah, on this question, I'm just coming back again to this question of classification and declassification of information and the period. Now, wouldn't it have been much better, for instance, if they do what justice is doing on sentences, where you've got a minimum sentence and a maximum sentence. Let's say there are crimes where you can be sentenced. The minimum sentence, they would say, 5 years. The maximum is 25 years, not exceeding 25 years. Then why don't you say, for information that can be, that has been classified, it can be kept at least for 5 years. At the most, 20 years. Why not do it that way? Because information may not be the same or important, that is secrecy, or all of it. Yeah.
I don't know if that is a proposal that needs to be taken into account, Honourable Member, or would you like your response from the team? Honourable Fichler? Perhaps if you have got the response.
Thank you, Chair. I was going to mention the Minimum Information Security Standard. Just a quick overview of what it contains are the existing classification levels and all the methods relating to the handling of those type of documents, physical security, document security. It's basically a very good guideline. It needs to be reviewed in light of what our current requirements are, what the current circumstances, what were the previous pitfalls of that particular document, and we also need some assistance if the committee can assist us in channeling that particular aspect, because it will be very essential. As Honourable Member previously mentioned, that there's often a loop in or they miss out the regulations after the bill has been enacted. The MIST will also provide us a basis for the regulations. So that will be a very important project as well, Chair. With regard to the classification and declassification, minimum, we can call it minimum periods from the interpretation that we've get. We can consider that, Chair, but we also must try to root out any mechanisms that will create any uncertainty or make it, if it's not properly applied, what will the repercussions be of it? Because sometimes you might have an authority who might deem its minimum period is now 5 years, and another authority might deem it to be 10 years. So I think maybe we need to actually conceptualize this particular aspect and actually get further input with regard to this matter. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, I'm
Thank you, Chair.
State,
I'm going to state law advisor. I need to come and, if I may say, assist in this matter with regard to the 20 years. The rationale behind was that the bill, as it is just a framework which cannot go into detail as to what has to be done, that is in terms of keeping the information. But in 20 years is the maximum. And if you, I would like to refer the committee to page 15 of the bill, on the paragraph L, which says that classification must be in place only for as long as the protection is actually necessary. Meaning that on these reviews, it may be not even 20 years. It may be less than that, but the 20 is the maximum. And it will be guided by the issues in I, in paragraph I, which are there in I, when they review the information, if it is still necessary to do that. So it may be less, but 20 is just the maximum, which is setting only a framework as the bill seeks to do.
Honourable members, I think the principle of classification is something that we will understand once we are expected to understand once we get to the finer details of the bill. Declassification it follows. I mean, once you have classified, there must be a declassification process, and so it follows. And I mean, we can argue about, you know, when in the period, and what are the circumstances. But I think that the honourable members get to come to terms with the general principles, with the general concepts that's incorporated in the bill, that there is going to be classification of some sort or another. And it's going to be dealing with information and valuable information, and that at some time or another, these things will be declassified, that you get to understand the simple concepts, so it's easier when you read these other fancy words that are giving some of us trouble, that it's easier to come to terms with what the bill is actually trying to achieve. That within those simple concepts, there are some other things that we have to do that are not so simple, that are a little bit more complicated, and the wording is a little bit tricky, and we as the legislatures, you know, we have got the power to change it if we are not happy with what has been said here. But I think it's very important that we get to understand in a very simple sense what is being asked of us here. You know, I don't think when this thing all came before us on a previous occasion in a different shape and size that there was any doubt in anybody's mind that came here that there is a need to classify and protect information. Even those that had strong voices against, and even those that was protecting the interest that they have under the access to information bill. Even there, among them, those people, there was agreement that there is a need for us to come to terms that information, certain information, needs to be protected. So I think with those simple concepts, honourable members, if you work around those issues, that there will be classification and there will be declassification, and there will be punishment for those that don't behave in terms of those issues. And here we are talking about public officials. The bill is very clear here that those people that want to classify in order to hide some corrupt act, or to hide, or that disclosure might cause some embarrassment, these are all things that are prohibited in terms of the bill. So there is, I see, a different balance here now than there was in their one. That there is more, there's a lot of emphasis here on punishing people that are involved in the classification process if they intend to abuse the process. But, honourable members, I think that is my closing speech for the day. Unless there is any further questions, I'm going to ask the presenting team whether they have got any further presentation to make. Otherwise, I intend to close this meeting. From the legal services, parliament in our presence here. manage interested in the proceedings. I hope he goes back and tells these people that we are struggling along here. Perhaps he can send us some legal advisors to also assist in the process. But welcome, sir. It's a pleasure to have you here and to see that officials at Parliament are taking an interest, particularly on a Friday, with what is happening at Parliament. Honourable members, I know there are you, those of you that have to catch planes, and those of you that have other things, and there are some of us that are sick. If you have no further questions, I want to say thank you for coming. The minutes of the previous meeting and the minutes of this meeting we will deal with in the next meeting. We will continue with our presentation so that members, honourable members, are going to be comfortable with what is contained in the bill, so that as we go on, you're not going to have to read and page through the thing. By the time we get into the real hard work, I want to be sure that all the honourable members are comfortable and know what this thing is about, and that we can depend then on your contribution to making this thing work. Honourable members, I've got nothing more to say, and I want to call this meeting adjourned now.